Reading to you from Isaiah, the 41st chapter, 10th verse. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, most of you know I've had pneumonia, been in and out of the hospital. I want to thank you people for praying for me. I want to thank Dale Freeman, my dear ex-pastor, and all those people there on the world prayer chain. I want to thank Millie. I want to thank her, and I want to thank Gus and Betty and all those people, the Dalles, and Bill Elton and his wife, who've been praying for me. Boy, you guys don't know how much I appreciate it. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to take my text from the 27th Psalm in the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Father, in Jesus' precious name, oh God, thank you for your love. Oh, I'm so grateful I have friends and prayer warriors. And Lord, that's the greatest tool that we as Christians possess today is prayer. You've asked us, you've begged us, you've pleaded with us to pray for one another. I'm so thankful for my friends. Lord, bless all my friends in the Dalles and all the people around the world who've been praying for me. It's a joy to be able to say, hey, if you got a prayer need, call me and I'll talk to my pastor. He'll put you on the world prayer chain. Now, Father, speak through this thy servant. Help me to preach with love, compassion, and a heart that's full of God's love, that many might be touched and won to Christ through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Label this the defeat of fear. You know, friends, fear stalks all of us. And I want you to know, when I was in the hospital the other day and they told me I had pneumonia, I was so sick. I've been sick for quite a while. I don't like to talk about it, but I was. And I thought, my stars in the morning. And boy, that night, what a night I spent. But they put me on antibiotics, and I've been taking them for 7 days. That's all, let me take them. The antibiotics are powerful. These are the most powerful antibiotic they put out, and I'm telling you, it knocks you dizzy. Well, my wife said I've been dizzy for a long time. But nonetheless, I'm feeling better. I'm weaker than a pussycat, but I feel better today, and I feel because of you people and because of my wonderful Savior. Now, fear was the evidence of at the fall. Remember Genesis 3:10, and he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Now, Adam and Eve went into hiding. Sure they did. Adam's response to God's call was, I was afraid. You see, God made us in his image. He made us that he could fellowship. And in the cool of the evening, he'd come and talk to Adam and Eve. And it was a wonderful fellowship, beautiful place to be. But, you know, sin is so real today. Every place you go, and even in our federal government, my stars, deception, lies, deceit. And you think, Well, they're getting away with it. Sure, they're getting away with it for a season. Beloved, just remember, God said, vengeance is mine. I shall repay, thus saith the Lord. So we just got to keep praying, got to keep believing that God's going to step in and handle this thing for us. Of course, I know some people like to take over God's job. Well, so did the devil, but he didn't succeed. You know, Russia tried to stamp out God. China's tried to stamp out God. Korea, North Korea, all those godless nations. But they can't do it. You know why? Because they got you and me. That's right. Because you and I are going to take our stand for Jesus Christ. Adam's response to God's call, I was afraid, and I would have been afraid too. Now, friends, this is a psalm to drive our fears away. Now, think about it. Every one of us are frightened sometime in life. Boy, howdy, sure we are. And if you won't admit it, then you're lying, because you are afraid sometimes. This psalm can give us light from darkness. You know, when I was a little kid, I was so afraid of the dark. And I remember my sister, her bedroom was right across the hall from mine. And I'd get in the, we had a great big walk-in closet. And I'd get in there and go round and around and around. She'd have to come get me and put me back in bed. And I was walking in my sleep. This psalm can give us salvation from condemnation. Oh, friends, he said, we're condemned already if we've not believed on the Son of God. And this psalm can give us strength when we're weak. Well, you know that we are weak. You remember he said, we are weak, but he is strong. And this psalm declares a light for darkness. What does it say? The Lord is my light. Now, God's purpose is to bring light out of darkness. And this was true in creation. And I read in Genesis 1:4, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Oh, aren't you so glad? You know what? We don't understand seasons. We don't understand day from night, but it is. There's a separation through darkness. But isn't it nice when you wake up in the morning, you look out, and the sun's starting to come up, and you see the trees budding. And right now, my neighbor's tree, he's got two umbrella trees, and I look at them every morning, and they're getting green, and they're budding. Yet, we got probably 6-7 inches of snow out there on the ground. Someone told me the other day, you know, I'd like to live in Colorado, but you got too much snow. Well, there's a reason for that snow. Of course, you know we're a mile high, and you flatland ferners, you don't know what that's all about. Well, this was true in the incarnation, and it tells us here in John 8:12, it says, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Bill Elton, what is life? He's my dear brother, and him and I were classmates. We were the class of 42. We've kept in touch with each other. You know, it's wonderful. This is a little off the message. It's wonderful to have Christian friends. Oh, my. And they pray for me every day, and I pray for them every day. And I pray for a lot of people. Sometimes I can't remember. By the way, before I get it, I'm off on a tangent. But I pray for Curtis Cole. He's a pastor up in a town here. And he had a serious back operation. And I talked to him in the hospital the other day on the phone, and he was pain from 1 to 10, and he had a 9 pain, and boy, he was suffering. And so if you just take time today, his name is Curtis Cole, pray for him, please. And pray for old, I call him Gus. It's not Gus, but I call him. But anyway, you pray for him too. Bud is his name, and he's a preacher. He's an elderly preacher, but he's a good one, I'll tell you. You pray for him. Salvation finds us in the dark, but it does not leave us there. It gives light to those who sit in the valley of the shadow of death. See, this is our great transition from darkness to light, and I read in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're delivered from the power of darkness. We're translated into the kingdom of Christ. You know, one time we were lost, doomed, and damned on the road to hell. And sometimes, now I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone the other day, and she was telling me that she was a do-gooder. So was my wife. Oh my, they did not sin. They went to church, they read the Bible, they prayed, but they were lost as a goose in the grass. And then they come in contact with our wonderful Savior Jesus. And then what happened? They were transformed. That's what we need today. The Lord is my light and salvation. Now, we are sinners, and we're all condemned. In Romans 3:23 it says, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all condemned. Well, our condemnation doesn't require even one more sin. We are already condemned by our unbelief. Friends, listen. I don't care what sin you've committed today. You've murdered. You've committed adultery. You've done this. You've done that. Well, you say there's no hope. Oh, but yes, there is. What is that hope? Jesus. You need to repent. That means you need to confess that you're a sinner and turn your back on the old way of life. Come to Jesus and tell him that you're sorry and invite him into your heart and to be your personal, not George, not Pinard, but your personal Savior. We do not have to do good works to be loved by him, although that's what I used to believe. I used to think, well, God had two sets of books, credit and debit. Now, if I did something good, he wrote it down. If I did something bad, he wrote it down. Well, when I would get up there before St. Peter, he'd say, whoa, wait a minute, Cecil. Let's see, I've got 50 good things you've done. Oh, and I'd get so happy. But wait a minute. You've done 200 bad things. See, if that was the way you got into heaven, then Ephesians 2:8-9 would be in effect, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest you boast. You see, we cannot be saved by being good. I've got a good cousin friend of mine. I just love her to death. But she tells me, Cecil, look it. I wasn't a bad person. I said, I know that. We're not talking about being bad. We're talking about being lost. Now, Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if you have not accepted, now, if I would ask you right now, Bill or Jim or Henry or whatever, Mary, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Now, you might stall. You might ponder that question and say, I think I'm going to go. Well, you got them. You got them by the nap of the neck. Because if they don't know, and they think, then you refer them to John 5:13. For this is written, that ye may know that you have passed from death unto life. Didn't say, well, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. It says, you may know. And that's what I want to make you people believe. Here are two great words for believers, no condemnation. And I read here in John 8:1, there's therefore no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemnation. Oh boy, isn't that something? Now, when we were lost, we were condemned, doomed, and damned, and on the road to hell. But the minute we put our trust in Jesus, we no longer have to worry about condemnation or worry about going to hell. You say, well, wait a minute, Cecil, wait a minute. That's not the way the Bible reads. You know, you can lose what you've got. Well, where's that in the Bible? He said, no man shall pluck thee out of my hand. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's not Cecil's word. He said, well, Cecil said that. No, I didn't say that. God said it. Well, the psalm declares strength for weakness. The Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, friends, I'll pray for my son, Greg. Greg is real bad. He's got a bad heart, and he's had two stents put in it, and he's, in fact, he's going down to the hospital today. Oh, I pray for him. I feel so sorry for him. He's got a broken marriage. His wife lives in an apartment. He lives in his house. His heart's broken. And I've told both of them, all you have to do is come back to the Lord and get on your knees and say, God, I made a mistake. Restore to me the joy. Oh, not his salvation, but the joy. And his two sons are so, his three sons are so concerned about him. And I just pray that he'll be able to get a victory through this. Friends, you know, I want for my kids, my two daughters and my five sons, I just want them to love Jesus. I don't care if they're famous. I don't care if they're wealthy. I just want them to love Jesus and to serve him. I had such a pleasant surprise Saturday. Tom Baird, you remember the man that led me to Christ, his son, who I haven't seen in many years, they flew all the way from L.A. to here to spend an afternoon with me and my wife. Can you believe that? Oh, we had such a wonderful time. I fell off my diet just a little bit. I ate some bread. Oh, my, was it good. But I don't want to do it again. But we had such a wonderful visit. We reminisced, and I told him how much his daddy meant to me. Oh, I said, nobody in the world would ever pay attention to me when I'd go to these preachers and I'd ask them, what can I do about my alcoholic problem? No one would say anything. But he did. He said, Cecil, God loves you. Oh, I said, preacher, I wished I knew that was true. He said, it is true. For God so loved Cecil Mole that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that morning, the Holy Spirit of God tugged at my heart. And I got down on my knees and I cried like a baby. And I said, oh, God, forgive me, a sinner. I know I'm the worst sinner. Paul thought he was the worst sinner. Well, I thought I was the worst sinner, but I'm sure I wasn't. But I was a sinner. And I was a sorry sinner. Was I praying because I got caught and my wife was leaving me? No. I truly was sorry for my sins. And he kept telling me, but Jesus loves you. Well, I couldn't understand that until he read John 3:16. Now, my mama, years and years and years ago when I was a little boy, used to sit beside her on the Davenport, my sis and I. She'd read that to us, for God so loved the world. I love that scripture. Whenever I sign my name or autograph a book or my movie or anything, I always put John 3:16. Because that's my favorite. It wasn't, I knew I was headed for hell. It wasn't the fact that I was going to hell that brought me to Jesus. It was the love of God. You say, well, Cecil, then don't you believe in hell? Oh, you crazy thing. Of course I believe in hell. There's a burning hell. But you don't have to go there. Some of you right now listening to my voice are on the road to hell. You sure are. And my heart goes out to you. But you see, I'm warning you tonight so that you might repent and turn your back on the way of life. What do you think I'd tell those men and women in prison? Oh, man, I mean, they will sit there and they will cry. Yes, they do. And the Spirit of God is tugging at their heart. And I'm saying, boys, girls, God does love you. No, I know your family's turned against you. Your children's turned against you. Your wife turned against you. Mom and dad turned against you. But Jesus hasn't turned against you. He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, The Lord is the strength of my life. Christ changes our eternal destination and our daily lives. Well, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He gives us strength when we're weary. And I was weary in the hospital. And when I had my cancer operation. And when I had the heart attacks. Oh, I was weary. I was tired. And I used to just want to throw the towel in. I say, I ain't worth nothing. Ah, but beloved, you were not insignificant. If you've been born again, you are not insignificant. God loves you. God wants to do. You know what? He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Well, he gives us strength when we're fearful. What did he say in Psalm 27:1? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Hey, you remember when little David was called upon to go out there and whoop on that old giant? He knew that he wasn't depending on his good works or his ability to run that little old slingshot. He had already killed a bear. He'd already killed a lion. And he knew that God was with him. He knew he couldn't miss. And he didn't miss. And he lopped that cotton picker's head right off. See, our life derives all its strength from him. Who is the author of it? Now, there are two great promises of strength. The joy of the Lord. Boy, oh boy, isn't that true? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he also tells us in Isaiah 30:15, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and trust in your strength, but you will not be willing. Now listen. Do you fear the power of darkness? Let me ask you, won't you come to Jesus tonight? Do you feel condemned? Come to Jesus for salvation. Do you feel weak? Come to Jesus and get strength for the day. This is a message of the day. This is the message of the day. The defeat of fear, and the only one that can do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, my voice is getting a little bit weak, so I better take off. But oh, friends, thank you for allowing me to be with you tonight. Again, I thank you so much for your prayers. You mean so much to me. And I tell you, don't forget, I've told you before, the most powerful tool that we have is prayer. Pray for our nation. Pray for America. Pray for our men and women overseas fighting for this great country. We were in World War II. No, my ship didn't win the war, but we helped. We sure did. And I'm so glad I was a Navy, and I'm glad I was American, and I am an American. I love that flag. I love the Star Spangled Banner. Friend tonight, if you are afraid and you don't know Jesus and you got it tugging at your heart, I want you to pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Now, it's only words if you don't repent. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I confess, Lord, that I am a sinner. Oh, Father, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to be able to live a good life while you still got me on this earth. And so tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and accepting you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Now, if you can't afford to call, you call me, collect, I'll pay for it. Now, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. And I want you to know I don't care where you go to church. In fact, this dear brother of mine, he is now a Presbyterian. So I don't care what you are. I know you know Jesus. Well, friends, my phone number is 303-471-8534. Please give me a call. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you for listening. Oh, please pray for me and my wife and our prison ministries. Pray that God will give us the strength to do all the things that He's called us to do. Now, God doesn't call you to do things that He don't give you the strength to do it. Yes, He does. You say, I'm a peon, I'm a nobody. Yeah, you're a Christian, you know Jesus, you're a smart one. Because you've been grafted to the tree. Well, listen, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.